Social Salad family and friends of the family. I'm Megan.
And I'm Sydney.
And today we're going to talk about our discomfort zones. The discomfort zone is the place you really live in. It's the place you grow in, and it's the place that you find success in.
Totally. And as an entrepreneur, growth and education go hand in hand. You should be learning something new every single day. Education does not have to come from books, and it can come from making mistakes as well as trying something new. And the only way to grow, in my opinion, is to educate yourself and take steps that will get you further to reaching your goal. So instead of telling you all of the reasons why doing things out of your comfort zone will help you reach success, we're going to tell you a story about a time that we each decided to live out of our comfort zones. I'm actually in person extremely quiet. I'm an introvert and I get a lot of anxiety in large groups of people. So as you can imagine, networking events are not my thing and neither are videos and neither are podcasts for that matter, actually. And I really enjoy doing the podcast now, but at first I was really nervous because I had never done it before, but it has really helped.
You're a natural. You're so great at it.
Oh, thank you. But my communication isn't necessarily the best, because my mind is going a million miles per hour. But I feel like this has definitely helped me to be more concise. So I've grown from it. So, however, my mentality when it comes to business is simple. I will never ever turn down an opportunity because of fear. No matter how anxious it makes me, and no matter how difficult it may be, I know that if I push myself, I will grow. I never worry about failing. Well, I do worry about failing, of course, like everybody else, but I don't let it stop me is what I mean. Because the more that I
fail. Yeah, I don't think you've ever I've ever heard you like hesitate about anything or like tell me that you're nervous about something. Like you're like, okay, we're going to make it work.
Yeah, I like to take risks in business and I like to go after it because if I fail in my 20s, which I'm in my 20s, the better my 30s are going to be. And it doesn't matter what age you are.
So you think.
So I think, and I try to be positive, but that's just my mentality. It does not matter what age you are, but I tell myself, if I work really, really hard now, if I fail now, if I make mistakes now, it'll only make the future that much better. So that's the way I like to think of it.
Absolutely.
So here's my story. When I was in college, I decided to get a job working at a boutique in the area. At this point, I knew that I wanted to start my own business and I knew that I needed to grow in ways that my classes were not teaching me. And that's just how I felt. And so what I did was I wrote down the areas where I struggled. And I also wrote down next to that a solution that I could try to improve those struggles.
Sydney, at what point in college did this happen to you?
Well, I got the job the summer before my sophomore year of college. So I was 19. But I figured this out probably my freshman year, second semester.
But what 19-year-old is like, I'm going to make a list to improve myself. Like, that's pretty amazing, actually.
I think you did that. I don't know why I think so differently. And actually, I want to add something later on about that, like the way that I work, the way that I look at things at work, because I think maybe some people might find it interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I've always wanted to start my own business. Since I was little, for as long as I can remember. I just was like, yeah, like I just do things that are out of the box.
That's great.
Yeah, it's different, but you know, I do my best, but so
it works for you.
It works for me. So this was my first job actually selling. So before this job, I did have jobs growing up, but I worked a lot with kids and adults who had disabilities. I never really had a sales job. So I knew that I needed to challenge myself and I didn't know what to expect. All of the girls working there were very outgoing and they didn't seem to have any issues speaking to people. And it was really intimidating, but in my mind, the perfect opportunity. So I had this job at the boutique to help me learn how to sell. And then I also had a goal to improve my communication. I signed up for a comedy improv class the Tucson area. Yeah, which was my
terrifying,
my biggest fear. And that is exactly why I did it. I would be anxious all day long to go. And then I'd leave feeling amazing. Oh, and fun fact, the teacher I found out was actually one of the first people to be on Saturday Night Live.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I really had no idea. It wasn't even through the school. I just looked up improv classes. I went to school at University of Arizona. And I just decided to search improv classes at in the Tucson area. And I just went, which is probably not the best idea. You know, do your research before, but it it worked out. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So so anyways, this class really challenged me in every way. Not only did I have to get up in front of a group of people on my own, I had to act out a scene on the spot and try to be funny. And sometimes the teacher would make me redo the scene multiple times because I wasn't letting loose, which is really hard to do. So as much as I hated it, I have to say I ended up loving it. I looked for improv classes in Miami. It helped me. Like, I loved it because it helped me, but I also loved it because I would leave there and I would just be like, I would be happy. I don't know. It it was fun. It just, you get your mind off of everything. So the improv class improved my communication skills to the point that I was able to converse with everyone at work, build relationships with customers, and have top sales every day, week, and month that I worked there, which was crazy. So now I'll actually add in the part that I was going to say before.
Mm-hmm.
When I would go into work, so, you know, a lot of people, they get a job, they sell. I would literally analyze my every move. I would be like, I would write down, okay, if I say this, like, I'm going to, this is what sells. And because I wanted to learn how to sell so badly, I would literally pay attention to every move. If I made a mistake, I wrote it down. Not because I wanted to work at this boutique my entire life, but because I wanted to be incredible at sales. And I didn't want to repeat mistakes. And I just looked at this job as a learning experience is basically what I did. I looked at it as my education. I looked at it as a challenge. Like, if I can sell this much more next week, then, you know, obviously what I learned the week before had an impact. Like, I did research because I really wanted to leave University of Arizona and feel like I really gained something valuable that will help me make money in the future.
You were like the dream employee of every college town business owner who employs college students, because so many of those college students are like, I don't care, I'm not going to be doing this for the rest of my life. And they're not you really took it as an opportunity. Like, you had an opportunity in front of you and you recognized it, and now you're amazing at sales. So insane to me that you even had the forethought to do that.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I just, not everybody learns the same way. And so for me, a lot of the classes that I was taking, I just didn't feel like they were going to teach me. I was definitely learning, but I knew that I wanted to have some sort of business and I didn't know what it was. And I knew I was going to have to sell. And I knew that I wasn't going to learn that sitting in those lectures. Like, my classes were huge. So that's what I thought. So I know it sounds kind of crazy, but like, I just wanted to learn and I used that opportunity to learn. So after a couple months, I really didn't have any issues speaking to anyone. I didn't get nervous anymore. And I also signed up for a couple other classes that had nothing to do with my major, which were, I signed up for public speaking to challenge myself. I signed up for leadership classes, business classes, just everything that I felt would help me learn. So, but the public speaking was my biggest fear, and I ended up doing a speech on failure, which was interesting. And what I learned from my public speaking class was that I would say almost 80% of the class hated public speaking as well. We had to do this presentation the first day of class. The first day I went there, I was like, oh yeah, this will be easy because we're not going to have to do anything. And the teacher was like, it's public speaking. Everybody get up and everybody, you know, introduce yourself and do a little speech. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I would say 80% of the people got up and they were like, I wasn't expecting this. I hate public speaking. And I was like, oh, thank God. So the lesson was that I wasn't alone. It wasn't just me, and that other people have a lot of the same struggles that I had. But if I wouldn't have put myself out of my comfort zone and done that, I would have never learned that. And I know a lot of people, you know, will tell you that, but until you actually learn it for yourself, then it actually settles in. So what I want you to take away from this is that going out of your comfort zone will not only push you, but it can open your eyes to possibilities that you never even considered. I would have never guessed that I would have ended up loving improv. I would have never guessed how much I love sales. And I would have never guessed that I would be able to speak to anyone. And it really pushed me. And I do have to say, now that I'm not doing the improv or the public speaking, I'm kind of back to like having a difficult time speaking to people. It's definitely challenging. But I've been looking for some, like I said, some improv classes in Miami, because I know that it scares me. And I know that that's what I should be doing. So my suggestion to you to bring this all together is to write a list of all the areas where you can improve and then write a solution for it. Try something new, push yourself, and you'll see new doors open. And if it's difficult, do it. If you have a feeling that you should do something but you don't feel like it, do it. And do what scares you. Do it with the intention of learning and growing. It is the best way to grow.
Yes, because what do these things do? They rewire your brain. So now you've added a new memory and you've learned something from it. Now you're a little smarter and you can connect things a little bit faster. But like Sydney said, you do have to do it. Anything that you push yourself on, you do have to do it with the intention to grow and learn. You can't just go into something saying, okay, well, I'm here because I'm supposed to be. And if you don't put in the effort, you're not going to get anything out of it. With that being said, my little story. So there are two major events in my life that changed me beyond anything I could ever prepare for and push me not just outside of my comfort zone, but I would say outside of like my comfort universe. The biggest thing I did that terrified me absolutely beyond belief was the scariest thing I ever did in the world was having a baby. And yes, I did do that with the intention to learn how to be a good parent. Go me. But the second major event that kind of made me step outside of my comfort zone, and I lump these, I lump what I'm about to say together as sort of a cause and effect. But it was my mother passing away and then my eventual move to Austin. So I grew up in a small town in Kansas, and as many small town kids, you know, feel this way, I was convinced I never wanted to live there. I felt like my small town was like that very definition of your quote unquote dead end town, you know? The population growth, I mean, still today, it has never increased. In fact, the population growth in this town, it's kind of sad, but it decreases. It's really sad. The main job there is fast food places. The only new businesses that are coming into town are fast food places. The only places that stay open are fast food places. In fact, they have all but closed down a handful of stores in our mall because the people of the town, like, they can't even afford to shop at some of those stores.
Yeah.
And that's so sad. You know, it is sad. I would say I'm painting this kind of a bleak picture, but people there, it's a small town. It's like, you know, any other small town. So I don't want it to seem like overwhelmingly impoverished, because it's not. But the other thing that does, though, that kind of was the kicker for me is that, you know, drug use, and still today from when I was in high school, drug use is rampant.
Oh, wow.
So growing up in high school and in college, I had a huge fear of ending up like everyone else there. And I had a huge fear of always feeling alone. I could never really relate to anyone there. And that's not like a sad thing. Don't be like, oh, poor you. Really, it's because I ignorantly thought that I was too good for everyone there. So I really never tried to connect with them. And even though I had a really great group of friends, I still had that same problem, but I was just nicer to those people. So I knew if I moved back home after college, I'd always feel that way, except this time when I lived in my hometown, my mother wouldn't be there for me. And I had this little voice in the back of my head begging me not to end up like her. My naive brain only saw her for who she was after I was born. To me, she didn't exist before that. So I had no idea. So I had this idea in my head that she never really lived. She worked and still had to always borrow money from people. We never went on vacation out of state, let alone out of the country. Sometimes, like, I couldn't even, like, pay for school lunches. To me, it seemed like she never really experienced life beyond go to work, make dinner, go to bed, which, you know, half the time she couldn't even make dinner for me. So I felt like I couldn't live like that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is I majored in English in college. So I and the only thing you can really do with an English major is be a teacher. Now, that's not the only thing, but, you know, you can be a teacher. But I didn't have any interest in being a teacher because I wanted to be a writer.
Right.
So that means that I probably would have ended up as one of those fast food workers that I thought I was so much better than. Because, well, I tried to publish and write a book.
It's a side hustle.
Exactly. Once I graduated college and was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do, if I would stay in my college town or go back to my hometown or maybe convince my cousin to move somewhere with me. And that's my other cousin, not Sydney. I did, however, convince her to go on a road trip just kind of while I was trying to figure things out. And it is probably the one thing that really pushed me outside of my comfort zone and into my worst nightmare. So I'm a very prim and proper girl. I won't use a porta potty. I hesitate to say I hate traveling because everyone loves traveling, but I hate traveling because it means I don't get to go back home at the end of the day to my clean, warm house and sleep in my clean, cozy bed.
Okay, I understand that part when it comes to traveling, though.
Yeah, that's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner, he used to, if he would go on vacation, he would always come back home that night to sleep, no matter where he went.
How do you know that?
Girls Next Door.
Oh my God, I forgot about that show. That's so funny.
Who are you?
That's hilarious. That's good to know.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. That's a fun
fact. Little Playboy trivia for you. Yeah. Anyway, and you may think that I seem outgoing, but just like Sydney, I'm not.
Nope, I'm not.
At all.
Me either.
I feel drained every time. I'm not just around larger groups of people, but even small groups of people, especially if there are new people that even just one new person. In fact, I will avoid meeting new people at all costs.
Yes, me too. I feel like that's like, mm-hmm. But we love meeting people in the social salad. Don't get us wrong. But not everybody, we love what we do, but at the same time, like actually go, it's not always the easiest thing.
It's not, it's just that deviating from the familiar, like right. Anything that deviates from that familiar, I avoid.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still like this today, but I'm better about it. And I was much, much worse after college. So when I decided to do this road trip and it was all my idea, it really shocked me. It shocked everyone else too. They were like, who are you?
Yeah.
So it lasted 3 months and we drove and lived out of my 1998 Ford Aspire. $6 to our name, which was very promptly stolen out of my car there was a pit bull in my car at the time, but it was stolen out of my car with our phones. You know, what a horrible guard dog he was. He pooped. Oh, it's a girl, by the way. She pooped in my car. I barely showered. And I relied on the kindness of strangers so much. I can't even believe that we made it out alive. Seriously, we got ourselves into some pretty scary situations. We were actually really stupid. And at that point, I wouldn't even call it living in the discomfort zone. I'd say we were living in the danger zone.
Oh, wow. It sounds like an awesome experience, though. Like, it's just, like, unexpected. Like, you could just do whatever you want. Drive, go wherever you want.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It was an incredible experience, and we met some incredible people along the way that we're still in touch with, and it was one of those things, and you say this at some point, that it opened my eyes to so much.
I love that.
And even though we got ourselves into some scary situations because strangers are, you know, don't let your kids take strangers from candy.
Nope.
I did it.
Wait, don't let your kids take candy from strangers, you mean?
No, yeah.
Did you say candy from strangers? Stranger from candy?
No, I said strangers from candy. I'm talking way too fast. Did you ever say that show?
Stranger, it's candy from strangers.
Yeah, it is. But I was thinking of the show Strangers with Candy as I was saying it, which is why I said it.
I was like, wait, what?
Anyway, Sydney, I was really proud of myself, so don't deviate.
Okay.
For me, it kind of felt like one of those huge steps that made me realize I was capable of anything. And I know that sounds dumb because it was just a road trip, but we struggled and some nights we didn't eat. But every single one of those nights and days, we made sure we had fun. So even though we were putting ourselves in these sticky situations sometimes, and even though we were living and what I thought was my nightmare, we still had fun. So it wasn't like the poverty and despair you might be picturing, but it was still a struggle. Mm-hmm. So when the guy that I met for 2 days during our first stop in Austin told me he wanted me to move down here with him, I felt confident in texting him, okay. Was I going to move out of state? Me, was this person who doesn't like new people, was she going to move out of state to live with a stranger? Yes. And listen to this. I moved with no money, no plan. The guy and I broke up after 2 months, so I had zero friends, and I worked at a restaurant.
Wow. That's amazing, though. I give you a lot of credit, because just to get up and move like that, that takes guts. I mean, that's challenging. So you really put yourself out of your comfort zone, and you just went for it, and I think that that's awesome.
Yeah, I was at the time, you know, I kind of thought, and I'll talk about this in a second, but like, what else am I going to do? Like,
right.
So, you know, I was alone, I was broke, and I worked for tips. I was basically living my biggest fear, but it didn't scare me anymore, because in facing it and in living it and experiencing it, I realized it wasn't that scary.
That's a really good point, actually.
Imagine that.
That's a really good point, because when you start doing things out of your comfort zone, it's just the starting or the doing it. That's the hardest part. Getting yourself to actually do it is harder than the actual task itself, usually.
Yeah, and like you said, you
or
came
task
out of,
or whatever.
Like, you came out of your improv classes feeling amazing.
Yeah, like, I was like, I would be so happy. It was like, oh, it could be like the worst day ever, but I leave improv and I'm like, wow, everything's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had lived as like a careless and clueless vagabond, as I like to think that I was. And I put myself into some pretty dangerous situations, and I slept in some pretty uncomfortable places, and I had to rely on strangers for everything. And because of that, I learned a whole lot.
Every person
I encountered, I made sure to get to know personally. This is kind of similar to what you did, except I took mental notes. I did not write it down. But I really studied everything, the people I encountered. I studied what they did. I studied
what
they said and their actions. And it taught me so much about people, how to interact with them, how to connect with each different personality type, and who not to trust.
Yep.
And it humbled me and made me realize that, contrary to my belief, I was not better than anyone, and that everyone has value. Mm-hmm. And it pushed me to meet new people. And, you know, Cindy, when I did this road trip, none of that was my intention. I said this just a second ago, but like you said, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone, it opens your eyes to so many new possibilities.
Some that you don't even realize. You just have to take the first step and try something, because you just never know.
Yeah. I mean, who knew that I liked people?
Seriously, like, you don't know unless you do it. And you just have to push yourself, because you learn more than you think. Mm-hmm. And you never want to be stuck. If you have a goal to get somewhere, the only way that you're going to get there is if you push yourself to do things that you sometimes don't want to do.
And like, even if you don't have a goal.
Yeah.
What else? Why not just do it then? Why not push yourself to do something that scares you?
Right.
But you know, I had set out with this obnoxious, idealistic, vague thought to quote unquote help people. No definition of that. No end game. And I don't know if you gathered, but I ended up definitely getting more help than I gave. But, you know, that's kind of just what I told everyone. Mm-hmm. My true intention, I had more to do with figuring out life without a roadmap. Like I said, I didn't really have anywhere to, I didn't have a direction. Mm-hmm. I had no parents. And this is even with the no parents thing, even disregarding that, I think this is the way a lot of people feel after they graduate college. And I think this is one of the reasons that people don't end up reaching the goals that they had entered college to, you know, mm-hmm. reach. But at the time, you know, I had no parents telling me what to do. I had no school telling me what to do. We're so used to everyone telling us what to do, telling us the next steps.
Right.
You know, I suddenly had to be an adult. I had to figure it out all on my own. Mm-hmm. Should I turn left or right, or right in 3/4, or maybe not quite, or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up her mind. You know what that is?
No, but it's creative. I don't know.
It's Dr. Seuss.
It's, oh my God.
It's all the places you'll go. I hope you all found
one. Oh, I know all the places you'll go. I remember that. Probably, your mind's probably refreshed with all of that. Well, one, because you're an English major, but two, because of Maddie.
Well, I actually have memorized so many Dr. Seuss books, it's not even funny.
Oh, or that.
It's like a random thing of mine. But anyway, you know, my real goal was really just not to end up back at my hometown and not to become my mother. But I got so much more than that.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
While I still may feel drained around people, I'm better equipped to handle it. While I may still hate icky things, I'm a little more comfortable sucking it up and just using the damn bathroom. It's a 12-hour flight, for crying out loud. You know, those people from my worst nightmare, you know, the fast food workers and small town folks who worked hard but still struggled to get by. Yeah, it turns out they're really cool people, and I was just a big B, you know, like,
yeah,
I was just stuck up.
Sometimes we get caught up in our heads and in our own ways, and we forget to take a step back and just look at the big picture and take the time to get to know people. Because some people, I mean, there's some really incredible people out there, and you never know what anybody's going through and or what anybody's goals are. And some people are just really happy doing what they want to do, living where they grew up or moving there because they like the peace and quiet or just like the low maintenance. And there's so many reasons.
Know, like, that fear that we have, every time we have a fear of something, that is just some preconceived notion that we have. That's not reality.
Right.
So, oh, totally. It was a ridiculous fear based on nothing.
Right.
Honestly. So think about that when you're thinking about your fears. Are they really, do they have a basis in reality?
True.
But I will say that, you know, out of everything that I took from the trip, perhaps the most valuable was being able to understand that sacrificing comfort is necessary, not just to reach your goals, but sometimes to survive. Yeah. My mother had a vibrant life before having kids, just like I did. But, you know, she loved us and she sacrificed for us. And ultimately, because of that, I got out. I didn't have to live a life I didn't want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a beautiful life. And while I can and I plan to show my daughter the world and that there's more to life than just sleep, eat, work, repeat, my daughter is still probably going to grow up thinking I'm a lame mom who doesn't know how to live. But that's okay, because now I know how to sacrifice, and I can apply that to my business through my work ethic to make sure that her discomfort zone only involves pushing herself to learn new things and not to have a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big lesson to learn about your comfort zone. It's selfish. It's me-centric. It's a little stuck up. You know, why should I have to make myself uncomfortable just to grow? And it's kind of lazy thinking, you know, I should be able to have growth and success and not have to work for it.
That's a really great point. I'm really glad you said that, because it's true. And whether we realize we're thinking that or not, a lot of people do, because if you thought, you know, okay, I want to learn and grow, so I'm going to do something that scares me today and every day and something that just really makes me uncomfortable. I mean, if we were thinking like that, we'd all be doing it. But sometimes we, like I said, say a million times, take a step back and realize, you know, am I not taking the right steps in the right direction? And that's a good point.
So there's this quote that I posted on Instagram, I think it was last week or the week before, from Calvin Coolidge, and it's, all growth depends upon activity. There is no development physically or intellectually without effort, and effort means work.
Mm-hmm.
So any effort you put forth in your comfort zone, guys, it's negligible. If you're not willing to push yourself or try new things and sacrifice your comfort, you're going to be stagnant. You're going
totally
to be stuck, just like my hometown is. But, you know, not to call them out or anything, and rejuvenating hometowns should be for another one of our podcasts. But, you know, I was stuck after college too, and I didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. So I did something scary. I did something hard, and it doesn't have to be like a big adventure, and it can be something small. A lot of us have families, and it's not something, you know, something big like that, like some huge life-changing adventure. That's not something you can do anymore. But to reiterate what you said, it just has to be something that scares you. If you're not nervous about what you're doing, how can you measure your strength? You can't. You have to step outside of your comfort zone, be okay with being uncomfortable, and you have to push your limits. You're never going to reach your peak if you can't muster up enough courage to summit to the first, then second, then third, you know, base camp.
No, it's true. And something small could be, like, for example, could be, like I said, I have a hard time with the podcast. Now I really enjoy doing it, and I'm really not so nervous anymore. I like it because I know that we're helping people. And it could be something like a podcast or a Facebook Live or a video or going to a networking event. It doesn't have to be, you know, taking a road trip, which if you can, I think that's a really awesome experience. It could be, there's so many options. So don't think that it has to be something huge. It could be something little every day.
Well, and I mean, what you did was like super duper practical. I would say if you're, I mean, that's like something for business. Like if you're like, I need to, even if you're in a job that you hate, if you hate your job and you don't perform well at your job, that's not helping you at all. Like,
yeah.
Sydney, you didn't hate your job, but it wasn't going to be what you did for the rest of your life. But you still put in so much effort to be the best possible employee mm-hmm. there was.
Yeah.
That should be everyone's goal with their job, even if they hate it.
And even if you hate it, what you should really think, and I say this all the time, is even if you hate something, try to get the most out of it. So if you really hate your job, focus on getting something out of it. Focus on something that you can learn. If you're in a sales job, but you really don't like the company, try to, like Megan and I both said, analyze the people, analyze what you're doing, see how you can improve. Focus on your own skills, because that will benefit you for whatever job you have next, or for whatever company you have next, or for your current company. Try to challenge yourself in those situations and try to learn something from it. Don't focus just on, you know, making everyone else around you happy. Focus on your own skills and try to improve it.
And when in doubt, if you don't know what else to do, just do something that scares you. Because, you know, you can struggle while you're not reaching a goal in a job that you hate, or a life that you hate, or just being mad at yourself because you haven't done anything to reach your goal. Or you can struggle because you're trying to reach your goal. You know, you're pushing yourself to do something new and to do something that is uncomfortable and difficult. So you're going to struggle either way. If you don't know what else to do, just go for the hardest thing. Like, you know, they say, like, when you're doing your list of, like, to-do things, I know you are opposite of this, Sydney, but when you're making your, like, to-do list, start with the hardest thing first. And, you know, if you, when in doubt, just start with that hardest task first.
Yeah, it challenges you.
Any final thoughts?
I think we've covered everything, actually.
I think so, too. I guess that will wrap us up for this episode of the Social Salad Podcast. If you have any questions or anything you want to add, please comment on the podcast post in our Facebook group. You will need to be a member of the group to do so, but feel free to join. We would love to have you as part of our Social Salad family. And stay tuned Monday for the next episode of the Social Salad Podcast.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.